Okay, today's daf is daf kuf tet zayin. We were holding three lines up from the bottom on Amud Beit Amar Rava. But before we continue, let's remember what we were discussing. The question was that there was a certain gentleman who died between Cordova and Espana, and they sent a message to his hometown that this particular fellow, whose name was Yitzhak or Shkaluta and so on, and he was a nephew to Rav Bibi, and he was traveling and he died here. So the question is whether we have to worry, where we never knew that there was anyone else by this name, and maybe there was somebody else by this name, and perhaps this is a person that is the message that we have refers to somebody else. So do we not have to worry about such a thing because we don't know of anyone else in that city that was named Yitzchak, and therefore we can just assume that this is the famous Yitzchak from the Reish Galuta family of the woman that lived in Cordova. So we had a machlokas yesterday between Abaya and Rava. Abaya said, no, you have to find out and make sure that there's nobody else. Rava says we do not have to worry about it. Now, Abaya brought a proof that you do have to worry from a famous she'ela that was sent by Avua de Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. And that she'ela was essentially about the same issue, that there was a get that was found in Naharda, and it identified that the get is being given from a fellow called Andor Linai from Naharda, who is being Bimagarish's wife. So Avua de Shmuel wanted to know if he finds such a get, can he be samech that this is indeed the get of the known Andor Linai, or could it be that maybe there was some other guy that used to live there and had that name, or maybe there's even some other city called Nardoi where that has the same fellow Andor Linai. This is the way other Rishonim explain it, and that therefore we would have to check out the entire city to find out whether there is, in fact, or ever was, a guy that was called Andor Linai who used to live in Naharda. So, and the answer that he got back from Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was that, yes, you got to check the whole city. So you see, Abaya says that indeed it's a problem. If you can't establish that this is the only person by that name, then you can't rely on it. Whereas Rava says, no. The only reason that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said that was because he did not want to insult publicly Avua de Shmuel. Because what is it? Okay, check it out. That's all he was saying. He wasn't saying that there's really a chashash. And that prove it to you, he says, because otherwise why did he say check? Now, why just check Naharda? Why do we have to check the whole world to find out? Maybe there's another city, Naharda, or maybe there used to be a guy that lived in Naharda. How would you know in Naharda? So obviously, if he says, check the city, he was really rejecting the question. It was evident of Avua de Shmuel when he rejected the question. But in order that it shouldn't be insulting that he asked a stupid question, he said, you know, you can look through Naharda and see if anybody else has that name. But obviously, that's a meaningless thing to say. So anyone that understood what was happening understood that he said it basically to cover for Avua de Shmuel, because there really was no question. So today, Rava wants to prove that his contention is correct, and that you never have to worry about two people of the same name if you have a contract, and nobody ever heard of another person of this name. So Amar Rava, I want to prove to you that I'm right. Because the Hanu Trei Shtari, the Nafkimu Mechuzah, there were two IOUs, or actual signed bonds of debts, that were now brought to court in Mechuzah. And it writes in these, Uchtiv Bahu, it writes the name of a lender. And the name of the lender was Chavai Barnanai. And the next one, the second one, had the name of the letter as Nanai Bar Chavai. So Rava went ahead, and he was Semech now, and collecting, that doesn't really make sense to say Rava, so the Bach changed this to Rava, because it was Rava was bringing the Raya from the case. It has to have been in a different business. So Rava Bar Avua went ahead and he collected money, both for Chavi Bar Nani and Nani Bar Chavi. And he assumed that the names of the lenders written in the Shtar are indeed the people by those names that we know. Now, I want to explain to you why I see that I'm right, says Rava. Because look, V'chabai bar nani, v'nani bar chabai, v'mechuza shrichetuva. You got to know that the name chabai and the name nani in mechuza is extremely popular. And therefore, there's no reason for us to think that, I mean, maybe there's somebody else by such a name. And Rava, you see that Rava did not have any question. He felt that he could collect from it, even to collect mammon. So he's going to take money out from somebody's reshus based on such a thing. Although the fact is that the name is a common name. And if that's the case, when it comes to Isur, we should certainly rely that it's only one guy, at least in a name that's not a very common name. So if he was ready to rely on it, even if it's something that, I mean, it shouts to you, you know, you got a thing by the kind of name of Joe. Who knows how many Joes there are? Okay. Nonetheless, he was grievous. This is a case where we have a name like Andrew and I or something. There's nothing to worry about. We don't have to crush. That's Rava's riot from the case of Rava. The Abaye. Abaye says you cannot prove from there, from the fact that Rava went ahead and collected money, because in such a case, we collect money from a shtar that is in the hands of the lender. So does it make sense to say that there was another lender? That's not a guy picks up a shtar on the street. It's the lender who has the shtar. So the lender by that name actually found a shtar, and he found a shtar that was written by another lender of the same name, and he's coming to collect it. I mean, how the heck did he get it? It's an impossible set of coincidences. So of course, if there was some, if a lender by the name shows up, that this wasn't a shtar that was written by another lender by the same name. L'may nechushla. So why should we worry that he got it? What are you worried about? You're worried about that the original lender had let it fall out of his pocket. Elan ifila. So what? That this guy, the original guy who wrote it, dropped it, and now this person found it. That's very unreasonable. I mean, after all, a lender is mizar ziyaripe. What, you think guys leave something like that loose in their pockets and that they should lose all their money when something falls out of their pocket for somebody to find it? It's like an open check. You can collect it. So obviously they wouldn't do that. So therefore, it's unreasonable to say that, to put all these coincidences together, a guy takes good care of a check, somebody finds it with exactly the same name, puts it into his bank account on the same name as the guy who wrote it. Come on, says Abaye. Ella what? Your cheshesh, perhaps the pikadon. And maybe the guy who wrote the bond initially, when he lent out the money, so maybe he gave it to another guy that has the same name. And he didn't drop it. Does that make sense? Who's crazy enough to give a valid bond written on his name to somebody who has the same exact name, so he can go and collect with it? That's crazy. So Kivin the Shmei Lo Mavke Gavi, obviously he's not going to give it. This is the last person in the world that he would give it and say, do me a favor, take good care of my shtar. So my Amrit, so therefore, okay, what's left? Dilma Masarle, so maybe the lender, the Malva, took the shtar and gave it over to somebody to buy. The guy agreed to buy this bond for him, offering him 90 cents on the dollar or something. And either your chashash is that basically they had not completed the kinyan. There is no contract on the sale of the initial bond, and therefore it's not really valid to collect with, so that what you're looking at is basically a fraud. Because in essence, this guy sees a good opportunity, says, okay, I'll bring you the money tomorrow and you'll sign it over. And he never signed it over, and he kept it and went and tried to collect with it. No, says Abaye, that's not a problem even that, because Abaye's personal shita is that otiyot niknot b'mesira, the very act of giving over a written instrument of collection, is itself a kinyan. You don't need to complete any other kinyan. And therefore, so the question is whether he paid or not, that's not our business. It was a valid mesira. Now the guy wants to sue him, collect money from that, let him take him to court. But we have every right in the world to use this document to collect with, because we have no reason to believe that it was not handed over. He certainly didn't find it. He certainly didn't ask him to watch it. The only explanation would be, even assuming that it was the insane coincidence that it was written by another guy with the same name, the only way this guy would have gotten it was by buying it. So fine, so it was given over to him. He didn't pay. That's not a problem. So according to Abaye, we have absolutely no reason to suspect that something is wrong. If I find a shtar over here, in that case where it's that person, that we have to worry about it, that it comes from somebody else. Now, the Gemara now brings another very similar case, which also has a machlokas of Abaya and Rava, in which Ahu Gita Dishtaka Basura, there was a certain contract that, which was an actual kosher get, that was found in the town of Surah. And there it said as follows, V'koti v'hachi, B'surah mat, in the city of Surah, Ana, I, Anan Barchia, from the city of Narada, Patarit, V'tarechit, Plonit intite, so I do hereby send out and divorce so-and-so my wife, and they found this. The Rabbanan checked the entire area from Surah through Narada, and there was no other person with the name of Anan Barchia that this could possibly have been confused with. So, although having Anan Barchia Achrin, there was nobody else with that name. Levar me Anan Barchia me Chagra Davi Bernardo, but Otus Adi Vioma Dahu Yuma Kikata Bahu Gita Anan Barchia me Chagra Gabanavi. So there was another Anan Barchia who happened to be in Nardo on that day, but who didn't come from Narada, and he was from Chagra, and witnesses came to say that on the day written in this get contains a date, that on that day, Anan Barchia from Chagra was by us, and the question is, if they say that he was there in Narada, so they're claiming that that he was in that town. So there Abaya said, well, even I, generally I hold that we do have to worry about maybe there's another guy by the same name. But we have no problem. There are witnesses that say that on that day he wasn't in Surah. And it says over here, Surah Mata, there I was, I, Anan Barchia from Narada, giving this get, and that's what the date and the place that they wrote in the get. So what's the problem? Even according to me, says Abaya, I found out there was no one else by that name in the town of Surah on that day. That's all. The fact that there exists a guy by that name, if he wasn't in town, what do I have to be cheshish for? And says, no problem. So he was in Narada, because the witnesses say, so my boy Basura, how could he be at the same time in Surah, if he was in Narada? So obviously he wasn't the one who this get was written for. It must be the guy Anan Barchia that we know. And that means it's the husband of the woman that wants to get divorced based on this get. Amar Rava said, Rava, well, I tell you the opposite. Even I who held in all those other cases that you're not Chayesh, Af, Ladidi, the Lo Chayeshina normally, oh, this case is terrible. Over here where we know that there was another person of that name, definitely Chayeshina. And even though he's far away, and he was in Narada on that day, do you know that he doesn't own a porch somewhere? So maybe Dilma began la porcha azam. Maybe he was flying a camel on that day. You never know. You can have a very, very fast car. This guy's an amazing driver. And he got from Surah to Narada. Is that a big problem? So do you know for sure that such a thing is impossible? Inami, or do you know that this guy doesn't know how to operate? He may have gone to Hogwarts. So maybe Bikvitsa, maybe use the flu network, maybe use the operating. And if that's the case, I mean, yeah, you know, never know. I mean, he might even have worried, have been able to use a Shem Hashem to go flying through the sky and so on. That's Bikvitsa Taderek. But you can't establish, unless the guy says all day long he was sitting here with us. But if he's not telling you something that absolutely contradicts the presence of this person, Narada, even I would say we got a problem. And we can't rely on this kid. Inami, or you know what, it might even be worse than that. Maybe he was in Narada the whole day. And we know he was in Narada the whole day. And the get nonetheless was written in Surah. And basically, he had given over the day before, Mili Masa, he gave over with a shliach in Narada to send this get for him. The shliach went to Surah and he appointed the sofer, and the get indeed was written in Surah. And because of that, they have to write, and that's the chiyuv. You have to write in the get where the get was, not where the shliach was made. And so everything works out fine. So if the husband is committed to writing a get, he doesn't have to be in front of you. Kiri Omalu Rav Lasafri. This is exactly the way the Rav would tell over to the Sofrim of the court that used to write for him various contracts. And so did Ravuna. Listen here. If at the time you guys are writing out a court document, a shtar, and you're in a place that's called Shili, I don't care about what happened in the document or when it took place. You write in the shtar, this is in Shili, because Shili refers to where the shtar was written, not where the event takes place. So Ktova b'Shili. And Afal Gav, the Mimsran Mili Behini, even though you were told about the event and were given over now the get to be written in the place called Hini, you write Shili. And if you read the Chubihini, Ktova Behini, Afagav the Mimsran b'Shili, Mili b'Shili. And the other way around, if you're in Hini, while you're writing the shtar, then write where you wrote the shtar, even though you were appointed to do this in Shili. So therefore, would it be absolutely correct, says Rava, to have to worry that it could well be that the very man who was not present in Surah all day long, was in Naradah, nonetheless communicated his desire by telephone or by shliach the day before, and to make sure that the get was written there in Surah. Maybe that's where the woman was, and I had to give it over to whatever the case is. Now, the Gemara now wants to know, Lamaisa, what about the simanim that we had raised earlier? Because all of this was tangential to the question of what constitutes a identification process. We talked about the identification of a body, from which we went to the identification of a container of sesame, the question of whether you rely on the container, whether there's an assumption that it might have been emptied and something else, which then led us into identification by name. So getting back to the original question, what indeed is the halacha? My havi alayat d'shum shmei. What is the din of the, in the case over there, the raya that we brought, that somebody went ahead and had given over shum shmei to another guy who claimed that he had returned it. And this guy says, what do you mean? Here's the simoni of this kli. You go see if you have that kli. That was the case before. And there he is. There's indeed sesame inside exactly the container. So the question is that a proof that these are his? Or could it be that maybe he took everything out, the original sesame, and now this is new sesame? And who cares where it is? So Rav Yemar Amar Lo Chashina. Rav Yemar says, La Halacha, we're not concerned that maybe he took out the original sesame from this kli. And we have a chazaka, which is called Kan Nimtza Kan Haya. That the din is where you find something was, and you find it now, this is what was there from before also. Whereas Ravina Amar Chashina, you always have to fear that if you have a generic product, that product that you're finding now may be a different set of the same exact generic product, like over here it's sesame. I'm going to know what kind of sesame, what sesame it was. Therefore you have to be Cheshesh, and you cannot rely on that chazaka to take mammon out of somebody and force him to pay for the sesame. The hilchata chashina, the halacha is indeed that we are chayesh. Now, even though normally in a machlokas abaya v'rova, we paskin like rova, and we would certainly say kanaya in terms of the case of the Yitzchak Rishkalut and so on, because he was here. And you would have thought that would be the halacha over here. But the truth is that that's only in terms of being matir, a woman, because the chachomim are mekel for iguna. But when it comes, indeed, to the question of the sesame, it is not sufficient to be motzi mamon on the basis of kanim tzakanaya, and therefore the machlokas doesn't apply directly to shum shmin, even though the Gemara had initially compared it. Now, the next thing we learned in the Mishnah was that if their marriage was on the rocks, Yesh kitata b'nolaveina, the woman comes back and claims that her husband died. We don't believe her. We know the marriage was on the rocks. We're chayshesh that she hates the guy. So now, hechidami kitata b'nolaveina. When you say that she's not believed when her marriage is on the rocks, I mean, what level of on the rocks are we talking about? What type of argumentation are we talking about? Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Bo'omeret Leba'ala Garsheni. It's when we know that she has been demanding a get, and since it's clear that she wants to get rid of him, so because of that she clearly hates him, and she's not concerned with the fact that if it's found out that he's alive, that she may end up losing everything. It's worth it for her. Says the Gemara, Kulanami Amriach. Do you know any woman that hasn't told her husband to divorce me? Every woman in the world tells her husband, at one point, I hate your guts, divorce me, and so I want to get, that's absolutely typical, right? So it's at one point or another, every woman gets angry enough to say, you know, this marriage isn't working out, I want out. It's a very encouraging Gemara. So how could that be a riot that she hates him and wants it? Therefore, we're afraid that really she's not, she's ready to say that he's dead and she wasn't in Dayaka. That's, no. Ella's talking about, Omeret Labala Gerashtani. It's talking about that we know that he did not give her get it. She's claiming, she's telling him, well, you gave me a get already, I'm out of here. And that already is something that's clearly not normal. It's, wait, what do you mean? If she said that, then she should be believed. If she said she was divorced, so then she's divorced. Because Lahem named Rivam Nuna, Rivam Nuna said Yom Rivam Nuna. If a woman says directly to her husband, you gave me a get, ne'emenes, because chazakai izat paneh b'fnei ba'ala. We have a chazaka that a woman who did not have a get simply does not have the gall to speak directly to her husband and say, I already got from you a get. And that means that she would be allowed to be yotzei ba'ala based on this chazaka. Now, some say, I mean, that the Ritva learns that she would mamish be allowed to get married based on this chazaka. Others say, and when it says that she's ne'emenes, she's only ne'emenes in terms of a chumra. They're not considered to be married, but we won't be matir her to the Yalom based on this. Fine. But in any event, I mean, so why are we saying this is a raya that she hates him? And this is the Gemara that's talking about Be'omeret Gerashtani, if they plenty v'shayilna. It's talking about, of course, that we know that she wasn't divorced. Because she claims, you gave me a get in front of these two witnesses. And we went and asked the witnesses what she's talking about. She made up the whole story. So over there, boy, a woman is ready to make up a story, come into the court, claim that there were witnesses yet, and that she was migration from her husband. We check it out and we find out it wasn't true. She obviously is rather desperate to get rid of her husband. And so if she comes along and says that he's dead, we will not believe her. Now, why won't we believe her? My time of the Ketata. There's two ways of understanding it. Rav Chanina Amar Mishum the Mishakra. We are afraid that she would actually lie. And she hates the guy so much, she wants to marry somebody else. She can't get a get from him. So she's claiming that he's dead, thinking, having heard that normally a woman is believed to say, Mate Bali. So she thinks, we don't know about the fact that her marriage was on the rocks. So she straight out bald-faced lies to us that her husband is dead. Aye, so what about when her husband will walk in a couple of months later? So, she's very happy. Great. He'll never be able to marry me. They'll force him to give me a get. So I'll be also to him. I'll be also to my second husband. I'll find another guy. What's the big deal? So she is desperate. Reb Shimi Barashi, no. We don't have a chashash that she's going to make this kind of irrevocable decision to asur both mentor and so on, lose everything. The reason that we're afraid is not because of an outright lie, but rather, mishum da amra b'dami. Since she has a very strong desire to get rid of him, if she's given half an opening to believe that he's dead, she will believe that he's dead. So in other words, even though she didn't stick around to see him breathe his last, and he may indeed have been rescued at the last minute, she'll say, I saw him die because she believes that he's dead. So she'll say, Mate Bali, of course, whether literally I saw him die, a kavartiv would be that we had in the sugya before. So maybe now, what would be the difference? The difference would be, Ikebenayah da argil hu ketata. The question is, who is doing the argument over here? So, if he was the one who started the battles, so according to Rav Huna, if we don't have a chashash that she is lying, and I mean, this is the point of yours because the hatred, but she has no problems with him. He's the one that wanted to get divorced. Because according to Rav Shimi Barashi, since Lamaisa, they don't live in peace. So it's true she doesn't hate him to the extent that she would lie, But she's not going to mourn overly much the end of their marriage. Therefore, she's not going to be so medayeket and hang around to make sure that he's really dead. And therefore, we would still be cheshish that maybe she would be omeres with a dummy. Iboila. All of this that we've discussed is in terms of a woman who comes. You didn't tell us what halach in terms of a neid echad, because remember that a neid echad were also very makel because of a guna. Normally a neid echad is useless. But over here, we'll accept the neid echad and we'll rely on the fact that the woman will be medayeket to make sure that she doesn't get into trouble. Question over here is, okay, now we have a reason to say that she will not be medayeket anyway if she hates the guy's guts. So once again, we have the standing question, and we've asked so many times before. If we have an eid echad, biktata, mahu, is the reason, as we've brought up earlier, my time at eid echad, and why do we believe a single eid for a woman? Is it mishum de milta David el gluy lo mishakas, because there's a basis for nemanut? That the only reason that the Torah said that we require two eidim is in an area in which the Eidim know that we're dependent on them for the information, and therefore the construction of information requires two Eidim, or because we have no other reason to think that the Eidim are telling the truth, so therefore we only have the Torah's definition, or is it because we do have a reason to say that they're telling the truth in this case, and we would have the reason even on an Eidah, because since over here it's a Milta, the Avida Ligluye, so he's not going to lie, because, I mean, he doesn't want everybody to know that he's a liar. So then in this case also, or perhaps the main reason that we believe in Eid Echad is not because of this, but it's Odilma time in Eid Echad Mehaman is Mishum Dehi Daiku Minasva. It's because we rely on the woman to do all the research. But over here, even the Itle Kitata. Here, since there's a reason why she'll be happy not to do the research and jump to conclusions, so then indeed the eid echad cannot be believed because of the daika min sava. Take. That indeed is a serious question. Now, the next thing we read in the Mishnah was that Rav Yehuda Omer, lo olam eina ne'emenet, ela imbata bochal begadeh kruim. So according to Rav Yehuda, we need to have a lot of indications that she is in a state of disarray and that this really happened, and we see her emotionally distraught, her clothes torn, and so on. Tanya Mulu Rav Yehuda. So the Chachamim said to Rav Yehuda, look, I mean, Lidvarecha, if you're coming to say that it has to be in this sense, that we see it, so then the Pikachat, you know, say, then we should only rely on this. If she is a Pikachat, but a Shota, well, anyway, I mean, she could often tear her clothes. She often goes around crying in public or whatever. So over there, I mean, without any reason to say that her husband died or anything like that. Lotinase. Now, others learn it means just the opposite. Shotel will not react. And maybe there's no way that we can rely on it. So according to her, lotinase. And did you ever hear anybody make that distinction? That this halacha of ne'emenes is dafka, if there's a reason for us to think that her emotive state is important. Ella, what you're going to have to say, since the Chachamim made no distinction between which kind of women are ne'emenot, so achazot, you know, say, obviously it makes no difference whether she's distraught or she's not distraught, it's 100% reliable. Now, a yid, the atya, the bedina, the Rebbe Yehuda, was indeed a woman who showed up in Rebbe Yehuda's court, and she wanted a heter to get married. Amrila. So they said over there, people that were there, a new Rebbe Yehuda Shita, and that there's no way he's going to be allowing her to get married unless she comes in distraught. So they said to her, Sibdi Balech, go ahead and say a hesped and cry and kirimanech, tear your clothing. Sitre mazyech, let your hair look like it's like you've been tearing it out and it's hanging down loose, and then they'll believe you. Says the Gemara, I said, well, but these are Talmid Chachamim that told her this. They're teaching her to lie in order to get Rav Yehuda to be mater. This is outrageous. Nah. In our abundant sphere, they themselves held that there's no need for it. They held like the Tanakhama, where they didn't think there was a. So they held like the Rabbanan, Rabbanat sphere. Why did they tell her to do that? So they told her, Anri Tavid, look. We got a problem guy in the Bezdin over here. If you want him to be matred, this is what you should do. Malacha, you don't need to do that, but what do you got to get into problems for? So they told her to do it. They wanted Rabbi Yehuda himself to be matir. Amazing thing. It seems from here, that the Achronim bring a raya, that you're allowed, if you're convinced that such and such is the halacha, you're allowed to present things in such a way, which even though had the guy known, through the Pesach, had known all of the details, he would have asserted it. Since you hold that it's mutter, you can present it in such a way he doesn't have those details, and he'll be matir. It's an amazing thing. Zokta Eilek Mishnah, Beit Hillel Omrim. So now, we know, says Beit Hillel, we know the Chachomim believed the woman who said, Meit Baalah. And say Beit Hillel, as we're all going to see very soon in the Braita that is brought by the Gemara soon, that there was an actual event, a woman whose husband had gone out to the field, and he was working to bring in the year's produce. The woman comes to Besdin, and she says, look, my husband died of a heart attack, and he just died out in the field. She comes to Besdin, and they indeed found out that she was right. And at that point, they said, you know what, a woman is, we don't have to research it. A woman is believed to say that her husband died. So Beit Hillel Omrim, that although this was the normative fact that everybody learned, this event is a specific event that since at the time that people are working during the harvest season, it's extremely hot. Exertion often leads to heart attacks. So it may well be that the guy dropped dead. So over there, the Besdin decided that yes, and it has to be in that particular country, and that where they were, because it's easy for us to find out, and she'd be afraid to lie, exactly as it was in the story that we're going to see in the Brighton. That was the basis of the normative psak. It's not true. It's not such halacha. Whether the circumstances are such that it's reasonable to assume he got a heart attack and it's hot, or it's cold, or it involves a lot of exertion, it doesn't. It's in the same country where we can easily find out, or it's not in the same country. Lo dibru chachamim bekatsir ela ba'oveh. The only reason that we even mentioned the mice is because such a thing happens often. So therefore, it came up that that was the mice. Chazru Beit Hillel orot ke Beit Shammai. Indeed, Beit Hillel realized their mistake and began paskening like Beit Shammai. Says the Gemara, Tanya. Beit Shammai said to Beit Hillel, you know, the way you're understanding this, l'divreichem, that the when we have a heter that is based on an event that takes place, and so it has to be precisely as the event was. So why don't you go all the way? Why don't you say, maybe it was only during the season in which you're bringing in chitim, which is what happened over there. How do you know if you're bringing in barley? So we have the barley fields, beautiful golden barley fields. Maybe that doesn't count. So ktir is oriminai, or why don't you say? But of course, there's only if he's being kotzer the tvua. But suppose he's picking the grapes, or he's picking mosaic, he's picking the olives, or he's being goder the dates, or for that matter, he's being oder. Maybe he's picking now figs. Minayim? I mean, so what are you going to do? You're going to say it has to be mamish, exactly? Elah, ma'aseh shayah b'katsir. I mean, it's obvious. But it's because it happened to be that that's where it took place. So we mentioned it. But who adin l'kul? Would make really no nafkamin l'halacha. And indeed, l'chanami, we should also assume that although it was b'otah medina, we can't say it doesn't make sense, that the fact that it's so easy to check it out is important, but there's no reason for us to assume it just because it was said, because we've already seen that we're interested in discussing the case as it took place. So we could say the same thing is true about Bota Medina. Ma'aseh shaya, Bota Medina. That's true, but who's to say that that's definitive? Who adin l'kula? U'beitil, huh? Beitil who say it has to be dafka in exactly the same Medina. That's because the shrichi inche, since people are there that may will show up to court in another 5 minutes to know whether the guy died or not. So Miratak, she's always afraid to lie. But maybe nobody knows. Nobody knows her husband. She doesn't fear contradiction by the facts. According to Beit Shammai says, look, facts, it doesn't have to be that her fear comes from the facts that are instantaneously available. She's terrified that people are going to find out that her whole life is a fraud. And therefore, even though perhaps there aren't individuals right now, but what he's telling me, that there's never people that drive from one town to another, there's never caravans that go from one place to another. So she's always afraid things get around and the truth will out. Says the Gemara, all of you have been talking about the story as if we know it. I mean, what are you referring to? Mama Aseshai, of course, I mentioned to you earlier in the Mishnah, but the case is this, and here exactly was the halacha. The Omer of Yonam Shmuel, Shil Vektir Chikimayu, was the end of the time of the harvest of the wheat. Volchu Asara B'nei Adam Lektor Fitrim, so 10 people from town went out to the fields. Near the case was Nishachol Nachash Lechad Mehen, whereas in this case, and we have to learn, as the Rishonim Mazbir, that Dafka, if you're telling me it has to be Ba'am and Katsir, so then it would be because of the fact, as Tosis brings, that maybe during the time of the Katsir, when it's hot, that's when you have these kind of poisonous things that would have stuck him. But others learn it's because a person who is under stress from the heat and from the work will indeed suffer cardiac arrest from something that is much smaller, and so he died. But whatever the case is, it was the Katsir Chitim. It was very hot. And one of them was killed. Ubat Ishto, his wife, comes, and she tells the Bezdin, look, my husband died. I don't want it to be registered that he's dead, and then I'm an almona. Vishalchu, they went and they found out, they collected the information from the people that were Ramatsukidvarel. They found out that it was true. And Botasha Amru, so they said, look, there's no need every time to have to go out and to bring witnesses for the case. If she says my husband died, then she should be allowed to get married. I mean, this is something that would be outrageously easy for us to know. There's no way that she's going to just make it up. Made Baali, in the case where they didn't have any children, and there's a Yavam that's involved, if she said my husband died, then she goes and she marries the Yavam as well on the basis of her own testimony. Says the Gemara, Neymar of Chanina ben Akiva v'Rabbona, v'Pluto de Beit Shammai v'Beit Hillel kamiflege. We have a machlokas which we'll be about to see, and it would appear very strangely that the very old machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is the machlokas that we find between Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva and the Rabbana. Titani, we have a braita that teaches a gezerah in which we said, Lo yisa adam mechatat ve'efer chatat ve'aviyem ve'yardenu besvina. This was the story that we had back in Chagiga. You'll recall that a person is not allowed to go ahead and to carry the water that is there with the Efer of the Parah Aduma, or he can't carry the Efer of the Chatas itself, to cross the Jordan River in a boat. Lo ya'amod, and furthermore, part of this gezerah is, he can't even stand betzad zeh, he can't stand on one side of a river, and throw it over the river, because that's similar to being in the boat. And furthermore, lo yishitem apnei ha'mayim, v'lo yakivim lo agavi be'ima, v'lo agavi chaviro, and k'nei v'galav nogod ba'aretz. He cannot also have this cross, the water, in a way that is similar to the original event that took place, which only took place in a boat, as we will see. So if it's similar to the way in which a boat will travel, so then it's awesome. Unless Kena Yuraglav no good Bikarka. So there, if he's walking across the river, so then it's not like a boat. So there, it's the same thing as walking under dry land. We never made a gezer under those circumstances. Aval Ma'avirem ala Geshur. It's not magic that we hold that there really is a chashash, that there's a dead man that had drowned under the water, is going to be Matame, the Paraduma Efer, the Mayim. And there's no problem, therefore, of walking over a bridge, because that's like you're walking on the dry land. And this would be true, by the way, whether it's the Jordan River or any other river. So Echad Yarden, where the event took place, as we're going to see. Biachad Sha'ar Naharot. It's basically, we just use one model case, but anything similar to that, it would be exactly the same, of course. Rabbi Hananiah ben Akiva Omer. No, not true. Lo Omru Ela Yarden, Bisfina Uchmaaseh Sha'ar. This whole thing has to be an exact duplicate of the original event that triggered the Gezerah. It happened, the original event happened in the Yarden, where a man had transferred over on a boat the Mechatas, and they found now a mace that was there, a Keziah Shal mace that was there in the boat, within an apostle. So they made a Gezerah to up the level of awareness, not because it's serious chashash, and therefore we should extend it into any circumstances that are vaguely similar. This is a takana, which is a historical takana, to maintain an awareness of a particular event. Now, it sure sounds like, that they're arguing about. So, Rabbi Hanina, the case over here is that they seem to be, Rabbi Hananiah ben Akiva says, like the exact event. It sounds like the Rabbanan were saying like Beit Shammai, and Rabbi Hananiah ben Akiva was saying like Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel said, look, there's halacha, and halacha is based on the precise event. It has to be dafka, the ketir chitim, and dafka bota medina. And the Rabbanan are saying that that's not true. Could be anything. That's the same halacha as in the Mishnah, no? Says the word, no. Amr lecha Rabbanan, the Rabbanan could certainly say to you, anan amrin nafka Beit Hillel. It's not true. We would certainly hold like Beit Hillel in this case, that we go according to the psak because of the katsir and in the same place, because ad kam lo kamar Beit Hillel hata. The point that Beit Hillel is making is not that it's nothing to do with the history of the event. He's saying that the factors in that original psak are meaningful factors. So it's Ela Mishum Demirtat. It's the very fact that she's afraid to lie. It was on that that we based our acceptance of her testimony about herself, which otherwise would be outrageous. So obviously it's therefore a Mokum Korov. So over there she's Mirtat. Mokum Rachoklo Mirtat. She's not sufficiently afraid. When it comes to the takana of not taking the mechatas into water, or across the water, Mali Yarden, Mali Sha'ar Naharot. Certainly Beit Hillel would agree that the name of the river is completely immaterial. Rabbi Hananiah ben Akiva, Omer Lecha? No, I say just the opposite. I say that I would agree, even according to Beit Hillel. The reason, after all, Atkan Lokam Beit Shammai Hatam El Mishum, the I Daiko Minasu. What Beit Shammai is saying is that, look, the Iker basis of this whole thing, of the Heter being, of relying on a woman about Meit Bali, is because we know that the woman is risking too much, because she's going to be very, very Midayek. And if she's very Midayek, at Mali Makom Karov, Mali Makom Rachok. Basically, she knows that she's in deep, deep trouble if her husband shows up. So therefore, there's no problem. But Hacha, this case of not going into a boat over the river, what is that all about? That's only Shumasa Shaya. It's a historical memorization. Okay, so Biyardeno Besvina Davi Maisa goes Rabbana. What the Maisa initially was then becomes absolutely definitive. It was in the Jordan River. Dakonis to remember what happened in the Jordan River. It's Bedavka in a boat. Dakonis to remember what's in the boat. There are things that are similar to the point where it's precisely the same event. So over there goes Rabbanim. B'Shar Narod Lovi Maaseh Lagad Rabbanim. How are you going to remember a historical event when the elements are not the same? What was it referring to? My Maaseh Shaya over here, you're also all talking about the fact that there was a Maaseh. You didn't tell us what the Maaseh was. The Omer of Yirma Marav Maaseh Ba'adam Shaya Mahavir Mechatat Ve'efechatat B'yardein. See, he was a guy who would cross, he had a business bring over, he had to cross the Yarden River in a Svina. And it was found that in that Svina, there was a Kezayat Shamed, which is Metame Be'ol, and the container of the Mechatas had become Tame through going over the area where the mate was, and therefore you can no longer use it for Azayah. And when they saw that, Botasha Amru, Lo Yisa Adam Mechatat Ve'efechatat, they made this takana. Nobody should carry the mechatat, ve'ever chatat, v'yavirem be'yardeno basvina. And so the machloket over here was, whether that is a specific historical memory or it's a gezeira that is based on a historical event, but which is meant to permeate our consciousness in anything that is similar.